Assemblyman meet or assembly meeting of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight's Pledge of Allegiance is going to be led by Ann Morrison, but she's not here. So I'm going to make the executive decision that David Powell, Assemblymember Powell, will lead us on the Pledge of Allegiance. Assemblymember Powell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fine job. Thank you, Assemblymember Powell. Ceremonial matters. Tonight we have one, and that is a certificate of service. The city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Maya DeLong for service and dedication on the borough assembly from October 2018 to June 20th. So I don't believe assembly member DeLong is, or former assembly member DeLong is in the chamber, but we'll please ask him to make sure that she gets that certificate.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Roll call, please, Kim.
Absolutely. Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison? Ryan Howe?
Here.
Decker? David Powell?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Here. Before we move on to persons to be heard tonight, I just want to take a minute and express our sympathies to the Decker family, who suffered the most unimaginable loss possible when both of their children tragically died in a car accident on Mitkoff Island. The Decker family is such a part of our community's fabric, and their children have been enjoyed by everybody in the community, and this loss is felt by so many. I just cannot express enough love to the Decker family, to Ging and Julie, and just want them to know that this whole community is thinking about them and holding them close. And I know there's been an absolute upswell of support for the both Julie and Ging, and I know they appreciate it very much, and we just hope that as they move along in the healing process, that we'll continue to be there for them. So thanks for letting me have that moment to express that. Kim, we'll move on to item number three, please, persons to be heard.
Yes, and first I just want to acknowledge that Assembly Member Morrison has joined us.
Great, thank you.
Sure, and then
the... One second, Kim. Assembly Member Morrison, you owe Assembly Member Powell one pledge. Go ahead with persons to be heard, please.
Okay, so the first person I have is Jim and Sue Nelson.
Great. Mr. Nelson, Ms. Nelson, please go ahead.
Okay, we would like to wait until our comes up on the agenda.
Absolutely. Yeah, you bet. We'll make sure we get you then, okay? Thanks.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Any other persons to be heard?
Yes, please. Dale Parkinson.
Mr. Parkinson, would you please go ahead, and we'll have 3 minutes for your statement.
All right. Did I find the unmute button successfully?
You did. We hear you, sir.
Okay, good. I wanted to speak about the mask, non-binding mask resolution. I think we've all heard plenty on the mask topic, and we hear it and read it every day. And since this is a rather toothless, unenforceable, unbinding resolution, I think perhaps we need to recognize that this is just merely a political statement. And it is an election year, and I know that people that are running for office need to show that they have done something. And this resolution, I guess, is just that. So I'm not real in favor of these grandstanding events, but I guess that's what needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim, anyone else under persons to be heard?
Yes, I have Dr. Debbie Lancaster, superintendent.
Dr. Lancaster, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Debbie Lancaster, and I'm the superintendent of Wrangell Public Schools. Good evening, Mayor Pozunka, City Borough Manager Von Bargen, Assembly members and community. I want to thank you for allowing me a few moments to give an update on our Smart Start status for school. On July 29th, I submitted our Smart Start plan to the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, which is also known as DEED. The submission included plans for educating students regardless of a low, medium, or high risk situation. Our plan has two options for the continuation of learning this year. Both options are described in detail on our website, the district website. The first option that I just want to give a brief overview is a medium risk option. And if we opened under a medium risk option, the elementary school would have small pods of 10 students with half day learning. There would be A and B sessions, morning and an afternoon. All students enrolled would be in school 4.5 days a week. The secondary schools would have four and a half days of classes every week, with Friday as a half day of instruction of online learning, which would be done in the classroom, although there would be no changing of classes on Friday. In both cases, synchronous distance learning can take place so that families are provided an option to follow along with the classroom learning. So under the medium risk, if a family chose to keep the student at home, they could follow along with the classroom learning. Say for instance, if it was a temporary situation, if they were under quarantine or something like that, they would be able to continue to keep up with what was going on in the classroom in this situation. And that's known as synchronous distance learning. That can happen at either school. So it gives parents an option depending on what happens because of all this unpredictability. So regardless of which school, everyone in the district, if they're in the school buildings, will follow proper safety recommendations. And some of those recommendations, as we all know, include social distancing of 6 feet, wearing of masks, except for the occasion of when the student is far enough away, or there can be mask breaks. That's outlined on our plan on the website. Frequent hand washing and consistent monitoring for changes of health. Again, this is all described on the web page. So that was the medium risk determination. If a risk determination is made under the high risk category, then only distance learning would take place. Distance learning, again, can be synchronous or asynchronous. So unlike last spring, which was not, it was kind of a mix of synchronous, asynchronous, and the unknown because we weren't prepared for it, this is going to be different. This means that classes can be on a schedule that mimic regular school day schedule. Or parents could choose asynchronous classes and be assigned a teacher of record. A decision of our risk determination will be made on August the 24th. The factors that will play into that decision include the plan that the EOC has created based on community data, such as the method of spread. Staffing for safety is also a strong consideration. So it's not just the report that the EOC has come up with, but that plays into it very strongly. We need to be able to staff safely for a safe re-entry to the school buildings. For instance, if we had community or contact spread that affected a number of our staff members and they were in quarantine for 10 to 14 days, we may not have a safe situation to be able to allow a medium risk situation. It would be a high risk situation. So it's not just simply the data of the community. If there were some sort of a super spreader that was around, that might play into the picture of how we determine the risk as well. The bottom line is, as you all know, this is a very dynamic situation. There's no clear-cut answers, and we have to take all of this as it unfolds. We are excited to be able to offer families a choice in some of their educational needs. Our professional educators are very creative and worked very hard to come up with all sorts of engaging and exciting options for the students, knowing very well that the community wants a different distance learning education experience that they than they had in March and May through May last year. So our regular school board meeting will be held on August the 17th at 6:30. Please welcome your attendance. And as I've said a few times before in different publications, please direct all questions, comments, concerns to our email address, thesmartstart@wpsd.us. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lancaster. Appreciate the update. Okay. Given that Dr. Lancaster's committed specifically to give us an update, I just sent Kim a text. In the future, Dr. Lancaster, I want to be able to sort of have you outside of purses to be heard, and I think we'll get you to speak next time under the manager's report. And that will also give us a chance to have clear dialogue. But I want to open it up to any assembly member that has any questions for Dr. Lancaster regarding the Smart Start or school reopening. You're here and we really appreciate you coming to our meeting. Thank you. So does anybody have any questions for Dr. Lancaster? I think you're off the hook. Well, I just want to say, yeah, I want to say thank you. Really a difficult thing, and I just appreciate your leadership at the school and all that you're doing. And Dr. Lancaster's been sitting in on the EOC meetings twice a week and participating there, and I just really appreciate your leadership. This is not an easy thing. It doesn't matter what you do, there will more than likely be somebody who is not pleased and other folks will be very pleased. So that's what leadership is about. So really appreciate all your efforts, Dr. Lancaster. Thank you. And I appreciate you giving us an update tonight. Okay. Any other persons to be heard, Kim?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have no other persons to be heard.
Thank you. Amendments to the agenda. Kim, could we please move the Nelson's
item 13C.
Again, the easement requirement portion. Can we please move that from C to A? And then that way they, if they don't choose to sit through the rest of our exciting agenda, they can get on the
street. We can do that. Can you ask if there's any objections from the assembly to do that?
Many of the assembly members. I think I see assembly member Powell looks like he's going to object, but no, he's not. All right, we're good.
I was going to make Jim stay here.
Thanks. Thanks, David.
That is eyes. He's thinking, if I have to be here, Jim has to be here. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? I'm not seeing any little hands. So any conflicts of interest? Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, I need to declare a conflict of interest on item 11A, ordinance 979, withdrawal from the IFA. I'm a board member, and that one little sentence in our municipal code mandates that I declare a conflict.
You bet. And that's because you have an executive function on that board.
Correct. But I receive no financial gain.
You don't see any financial gain. You know, can I please ask that you mute all lines except for assembly member Gilbert and myself right now? Thank you. I think we're getting some feedback from somebody's line. Thank you. Assembly member Gilbert, there is no financial gain there for you, and I know that you've been on the executive, but given what this is, which is the removal of the city from that board, I think it's valuable enough that you're in on this discussion. If you're comfortable, I'm comfortable with you remaining on for this vote.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, does anybody disagree with that that judgment that there's no conflict? I'm not seeing anyone. So thank you very much, Assemblymember Gilbert, for declaring that. All right. Any other conflicts of interest from the Assembly? Okay, seeing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted. This is Gilbert.
Moved by Gilbert. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Morrison. Any discussion? I'm not seeing any. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Thank you. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Rural Manager's Report. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a fairly robust report lineup this evening, and I don't know if the Assembly is going to have questions about certain aspects of this, but I wanted to go over a couple of items verbally on the COVID-19 update. That'll be short. But as the superintendent indicated, we've been working with them on the school district reopening in the form of providing a community risk level assessment. I want to say thank you to Jamie Roberts, who's our deputy EOC manager, and she's been working fairly tirelessly on this, pulling in our local information, our statewide and our regional information that's going into making this assessment. This is something that the EOC will be revisiting under Jamie's leadership on a weekly basis and coming out with a risk assessment on Monday. So the next one will be coming out this coming Monday, and we'll keep the Assembly updated on that. The other thing that the EOC was working on was the mask recommendation. As the Assembly is aware, we held a special meeting last week to talk about whether or not the community wanted to potentially consider a mask mandate. The decision, the direction by the Assembly given to the EOC and administration was to come forward with a resolution of encouragement similar to what Sitka did. It's been pointed out under persons to be heard this evening that there is no enforcement measure in the resolution. That's absolutely correct. It's really just meant to be positive encouragement. And to that end, the EOC is going to be extending the mask cash program that was out previously. I don't know if anybody was lucky enough to get handed a mask cash, but for those people that are wearing their masks around town and seen, we'll have people on the street at random times handing out money, and you get a $10 certificate that's valid in any store here in Wrangell. And so we encourage you to wear your masks and look for more folks at random times around town to be rewarding you for wearing masks when you're out and about in public. Also, the EOC is working with me as an administrator on providing feedback to internal borough policies related to COVID items. We instituted our own internal borough mask policy last week. We're working on finalizing a travel policy, screening requirements, and testing requirements for our critical workforce. And so the EOC is going to be providing additional assistance to me on those things. And Carol reported that as of Friday, we have received, again, this is as of Friday, so there probably have been a couple more that have come in. We've had 133 applications, grant applications submitted and processed, totaling just over $190,000. Three of those require additional information. 14 have been denied for a variety of different reasons. 48 are small business grants to fishermen. 39 are small grants to all other types of businesses. 8 have been for accounting assistance for folks who are getting accounting assistance from our local accountant for help with applying for and getting assistance with the federal, state, and local grant programs. Three applications have been for lift fee assistance in the Marine Yard. 7 applications have been for the social service grant, 2 for food assistance, and 25 for the targeted visitor assistance. And as of Friday, just about $156,000 had been approved for payment. So we're getting money out there, but as Carol reports, the grant applications are starting to slow down in terms of those being submitted. And so we are probably going to be looking at ways to make sure that we can either extend some of those programs, amend those programs so that they have broader reach, or consider something additional, because the Assembly has approved about $1 million in funding to go out to the community, and we want to make sure that that money is getting out there. So we'll continue to report back on that. But Carol and staff have been doing an outstanding job of reviewing the applications and coming in, and from the time an application comes in to the time that a check is cut is taking about a week, like a business week. So like 5 days. So we're really doing as best we can to turn those things around and get the money out into the community. And that, Mr. Mayor, is the COVID report. I have a handful.
Before you go, I'd just like to offer opportunity for anybody who wants to ask any questions on the COVID material. Does anybody have any questions for Lisa? Yeah, some member Gilbert.
Yes, has the committee considered a medical evacuation preparedness list? I had several calls after our last special meeting of people who didn't realize that they may be medevaced out. So I think we need to get the word out to the community.
Yeah, Assembly Member Gilbert, thank you for the reminder. You've mentioned that twice now, and we'll make sure that we take that up.
Might be worthwhile working in conjunction with search as well, so that just folks understand the process, how that would happen, and how that decision is made with the medical provider on where you're going to go. So that we may want to combine those. Anyone else with questions for Lisa on COVID? Sorry. Okay, Lisa, I think you're good to go on.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So the library is wrapping up the summer reading program. And as everybody knows, that had to be done virtually this year instead of in person. And I'll be emailing out a really nice note that the library staff received for their efforts to make sure that the reading program went on. And I just want to give recognition to our library staff for that. I'll also be emailing out the testimony that I gave last week. The Alaska Marine Highway System Working Group that was established by the governor asked for input from municipalities, and Nils Andresen at AML put together a meeting where he gave each municipality 2 minutes to give testimony. That was all videoed and sent to the AMHS Working Group. And so I provided a 2-minute testimonial from the Wrangell perspective. And I'll get that the written version of that emailed out to the Assembly, but I wanted to let you know that was done last week. Also last week, I met with 2 representatives, volunteers from the St. Francis Shelter. That's our cat shelter, independent cat shelter here in town. And it is closing. And so it has been run in the home of an individual that has given tirelessly of her time for years, and that continued operation is unsustainable. And so they're going to be getting word out to the community, and they are asking for some options to partner with the borough to make sure that this animal control aspect is being dealt with in the community, so we don't end up where I guess we were a number of years ago with a feral cat problem. So we'll be updating the Assembly more on that, but I wanted to let you know I've met with them, and we'll be including the police chief in ongoing dialogue about that, since animal control falls under the police department. The Assembly may also be aware that there is quite a bit of activity going on at the federal level regarding what's being called the landless issue, which is those tribes in Southeast Alaska that were not included in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. And based on a meeting I attended today with Senator Lisa Murkowski, they are planning, the delegation is planning to submit that legislation for consideration, introduce that legislation in September. That bill is being monitored by our federal lobbyist. It's being monitored by other communities around, specifically Petersburg as well. And WCA, our local tribe, is one of the recipients of land, and they have chosen land, and we have those maps. Carol has reviewed those maps and is putting together she's got a draft report that we'll be providing to the assembly that talks about what the potential impacts of that might be in terms of access and other things. We'll provide you with a copy of the bill. And one of the other things that we need to think about is the with that loss of federal land within our jurisdictional area, we will also see an impact to PILT and SRS payments because of the loss of federal land. And so those calculations are being worked. They're not ready yet, but our federal lobbyist is paying attention to that and will get us those calculations as soon as they have them. But I wanted to let you know Carol's working actively on that and will be providing information to the assembly. A couple of weeks ago, the assembly approved the negotiating ground rules for us to start collective bargaining with the IBEW. Those negotiating ground rules were accepted by the IBEW and signed. And so we will be moving forward trying to schedule official negotiations starting in the very near future. The assembly will be taking action on a professional services agreement for a significant assessment of the public safety building tonight. But I wanted to let you know that a couple of weeks ago, Amber was successful in getting a hold of the state to find out whether or not we had been chosen as a grant recipient for the grant that we applied for through the WCA for improvements to the public safety building. Notification was sent to WCA on May 4th, and we were not selected as a recipient of grant funds. So I wanted to let the assembly know of that, that Amber was able to track that down. Joyce is going to be getting in touch with our investment committee. We'd like to have a first meeting of the investment committee next week and then work with the investment committee to start setting quarterly meetings following that. Last week, the Ports and Harbor Commission had a meeting to talk about the Chugach, the ranger boat, the U.S. Forest Service ranger boat. And actually, Commissioner Gary Morrison is very interested in this project, has taken a keen interest, and is working diligently with CINI to try to develop an exhibit inside the Nolan Center for the Chugach. The Forest Service had requested a donation from the borough, potentially up to between 250 to 300 yards of fill. They were asking to see if that was something we could provide because they're going to have to fill out in front of the Nolan Center in order to be able to bring the lift around with the vessel in it to back it into its spot at the Nolan Center. That information was brought up at the Ports and Harbor Commission meeting. And I wanna give a heartfelt thank you to Commissioner Mark Mitchell, who volunteered to donate all of that fill from his pit if the Forest Service would process it and transport it to the site. So our thanks to Mark Mitchell. And there'll be a working group meeting regarding the Chugach Friday at noon with city staff, interested parties, including members of the commission and the Forest Service. And we'll report back to the assembly on how that project is materializing. Also, I touched base today with Clint at the Forest Service regarding the Zarembo Island parking cleanup. Clint agrees we need to get our working group back together there. They are putting together an inventory of what's out on Zarembo and what's being claimed as far as ownership. And admittedly, that's a slow process, he says. The working on the site plan for restoration is complete and is going or has gone to contracting. He's gonna check and get back to me. And then when we do reconvene as a working group, he wants to continue the discussion about the special use permit idea with the borough. So we'll get back to you on that. The borough has received a request from the owner of the Silver Bay Mill property to cancel the tideland leases that are owned by the city. And Carol also is working on a review of that. She and I have had a couple of initial conversations, but there's a sunken tugboat. There's a sunken barge, another barge docked. There's the actual dock itself. There are some access issues to filled tidelands. And so there is a significant amount of work that needs to be done prior to us allowing those leases to be terminated. And so I just want to let the assembly know that we've received that request and we will be coming back to you with additional information on it, but that's something that's being worked behind the scenes. Also related to COVID, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this earlier, money was set aside for a branding strategy for tourism, to get tourism back on track following COVID. And Carol is working on that along with a temporary staff position that was approved as part of the budget to assist with some online marketing related stuff, all covered by CARES Act money. As the assembly may have heard through the grapevine, we have a number of staff changes that are taking place and administration will have a report out to the assembly by the end of the week on the status of those. The Alaska Municipal League and Alaska Municipal Manager Association meeting, summer meetings are taking place this week and next week virtually. I am attending briefly as I can when there's a critical item on the agenda. So an hour here, an hour there. And I just want to clarify for the assembly that I personally paid for the registration fee for those because those items were taken out of the budget this year. And as the assembly is aware, we just finished a work session regarding the Institute property. Carol and I, mostly Carol, have had follow-up meetings to include Rod Rhodes from the electrical department regarding the additional survey work that needs to be done in the community. One of those areas is Case Avenue. Another area is the Marine Service Center and a couple of other small miscellaneous surveys that need to be done. They have provided us with cost estimates. So at the next meeting, we will be coming back to the assembly with a change order to address those so that all of our survey needs will be done this summer, hopefully. We had a meeting last week, the committee did, that includes Assemblymember Gilbert with our compensation study consultant. And we have another one scheduled for this Thursday. So we will be reporting out following that meeting to the assembly here in the near future. And I know that was an awful lot of information, Mr. Mayor, but that's what I have for my report, in addition to all of the department reports that are before you.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa, I'd ask for an update on the Kippa Valvota lawsuit and where we are at today. And I think...
Mr. Mayor, I apologize. Yes, I needed to do an update to you on how much has been spent on that. And I got wrapped up in some other things this afternoon, but I will get a total out to the assembly. Our half of the legal fees for the month of July were about $2,500. So we're consistently running a few thousand dollars a month in terms of the legal expenses for that. And I'll get a total to you. I'm sorry, I don't have that.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Lisa?